Book of Joel. So we're going to start reading in chapter 1. We're going to look at some of these plagues here in chapter 1 that he said he will send. Chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Have this been in your days, or even in your days of your father, in the days of your fathers? Tell your children of it." Right? So he's saying, listen, tell your children of these plagues, right? And he says here that the palmer worm hath left hath the locust have eaten, and that with the locust have left, guess what? The cankerworm have eaten. And guess what? What the cankerworm didn't get, the caterpillar. Mm-hmm. The caterpillar got. Yeah. So here you have the palmer worm. Yep. You have the locust. Mm. You got the cankerworm. And then you got the caterpillar. You have four worms. And y'all, listen, their livelihood in this city, in this town, in this place that Joel was preaching through to the children of Israel was their crops. That was their livelihood. And so guess what? Without the crops, they couldn't eat. Without the crops, they couldn't make money because God had sent a plague to them. And here in verse 13, it says, "Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests and you ministers, and of the altar, come all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God, for the meat offering and the drink offering is withholding from the house of your God." So what this is saying is, y'all see, we see the sin, we see the corruption, and the reason why God allowed this plague to come, what does it sound like? Sound like us, right? The reason why he allowed this plague to come is because of the sin of the people. Amen? And not only that, but the sin of the land. But he started, judgment started where? In the house of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so not only did he give the charge to the city or to the people, but here he's giving a charge to the church. He's giving a charge to the preachers. He's giving a charge to the ministers. He's giving a charge to the deacons. And so y'all, and you know, and a lot of times the stance that the church takes, the church says, well, going through all this racial divide, going through all this political divide, going through all this, right? That we need to preach to them. We need to preach to those in the world, right? And people can say, well, pastor, they're the one who need this fast. They're the ones who need to rend their hearts and not their garments. No, but it starts with us. Amen. It starts with us. It starts with the rending of our own hearts. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It starts with our brokenness. And so that's what we got to get as a church, to know that it's easy for us to get up and preach, right, about what everybody else is doing. It's easy for us to listen, we're praying for this country. We're praying for them. Yo, guess what? We're praying for their deliverance. I'm praying for their salvation. But guess what? Their deliverance, their salvation starts with our deliverance, starts with our conforming, starts with our transformation. And y'all, it's through our transformation, it's through our death, amen, that the world will be saved. It's not enough just to be able to witness. It's not enough just to be able to preach for them. But guess what? The strongest message we can give them is a message of love being demonstrated in how we live. And that starts through our suffering, our own deliverance. Amen. Jesus said to Peter and the disciples all the things that he was going to have to go through. I was listening to a preacher today on the radio. All the things that he was going to have to suffer and be persecuted, that he will go to the cross. And that he will die. And Peter began to rebuke him and said, "Be it far from thee, Lord. You ain't got to die. You, what's all this? And what's all this brokenness business about? What's all this suffering business about? What's all this co-crucifixion business about? And I say it all the time, y'all, we can't get there from here. He said, except if any man come after me, he must what? Deny himself. Take up his what?
Cross.
And follow me. Mm-hmm. It's the cross. It's the cross. The cross is the greatest instrument. The cross is our greatest weapon. And the cross is not for somebody else. The cross was not just for our salvation, right? Unto deliverance, thank God for the cross, because it's the cross where the Lamb was slain, where he died for my sins. But the cross is for me. He said, take up your cross, deny yourselves. Take up your cross every single day. We've got to take it up. Amen? I'm trying not to turn there. But the Bible says, what does it profit the man to gain the whole world? And what? Lose his very soul. Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? It's the cross. And the cross is every day. Cross ain't something we just hang around our neck. Y'all know the devil can wear the cross. Y'all know that? And some of the biggest devils in the church wearing these big old crosses. That don't mean nothing. Amen. The emblem don't be, it's not the emblem. It's our heart being linked by the word of God. Amen. And guess what? The cross is where we grow. The cross is where we die. And his life is manifested in us. So we just thank God for this book of Joel. And then here it says, so back in 13, Joel chapter 1, 13 says, gird yourselves. And lament, you priests, how? You ministers of the altar, come, lie all night in sackcloth. You ministers, he says it again, of my God, for the meat offering and the drink offering is withholding from the house of your God. And what that's saying is the meat offering and the drink offering. He says, I'm not hearing that right now. That's what he's saying. He says, you're singing? I'm not seeing it right now. You coming in, rolling around the altar, praising God, giving glory over here, giving glory over there. He says, I shut my eyes to it. He says it in Amos, and he says in Isaiah chapter 1. Amen. Matter of fact, let's turn to the book of Amos real quick. Amos is the next book over. And y'all know, these are minor prophets. Joel was a minor prophet. Amos was a minor prophet, right? And they were preaching the same message. Guess what, y'all? They were preaching to the church. Mm-hmm. Amen? So Amos here, the book of Amos, says this. This is what he says. Book of Amos, chapter 5. Book of Amos, chapter 5, verse 21. This is what he said. He said, I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, he says, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. And listen, and so we know that the offerings that they offered in the Old Testament was just a foreshadowing, but God never wanted a tangible offering. God was always from day one, when Cain killed Abel, from day one, God was after our hearts. Mm-hmm. And it was the heart of the sacrifice of Abel that was more pleasing than the sacrifice of Cain, because Abel put his heart into it. Amen. Mm-hmm. And Cain didn't. Cain just gave him some old dry rutabagas. Out of the ground. Amen. And Abel pleased God. But guess what? God went to Cain and he said, you still have a chance, because Satan is crouching at the door. He still had a chance to repent, get his heart right. And that's why on Sunday we talked about do thy diligence to keep thy heart, because out of the heart come the very issues, the very issues of life. Listen, it all starts in the heart. War starts in the heart. Jealousy starts in the heart. Vengeance, it all starts in the heart. And that's what we're going to be dealing with. We're going to be dealing with the word tonight, and we're going to be dealing with the heart. We got to get our hearts right. Listen, when your heart is bent, when your heart is broken, when your heart is right, David said, with my whole heart have I searched thee. He also said, Lord, in Psalms 51, he said, thou desire truth. Where? Lord Jesus, help me. In my inward part. Amen. Make me to know wisdom in the hidden part. There's, listen, y'all. There's a hidden part in our hearts that only God knows about. There's some hidden part in our hearts that only the word of God is able to get there, expose it, and bring it to light. It's about the rendering of our hearts, the renting of our hearts. Listen, and when you look at Jesus Christ on the cross, you look at his stripes, you look at how they whipped him, you look at how they beat him, they cut him. And the Bible says, by his stripes, he's healed. So guess what? It's the stripes on our hearts now. We must render our hearts to the stripes of the word of God, to be cut by the word of God, that God might work. His presence might work. His power might work. His glory might work in all of our lives. Amen. In my prayer, we talk about rend your heart and not your garments. When God, when we talk about a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, that God will not despise, that's what he's after. He's after that place in us that he can fellowship with us. Amen. That his presence can fulfill us. And I don't know about you, but my greatest time, y'all hear me talk about it. Guess what? You might as well get ready, because I'm going to talk about it again tonight. Listen, my greatest times of fulfillment, my greatest times of purpose, my greatest times of intimacy, my greatest times of clarity, my greatest time of discernment, my greatest time of just feeling complete comes through my brokenness and my death. And a lot of time, it's the affliction that takes me there, or what I'm going through, or sometimes just being in the word. Amen. And I pray, my prayer for everybody, that is it just me? Does anybody else ever get there? I know y'all do. You don't have to answer that question. Amen. But getting to a place where you see, you can look back over your life and you can see God's hand and how he's blessed from one degree of grace to another as we grow. And our growth has come through our death and our obedience. Amen. Amen. Bible says in Romans chapter 5 that patience work, tribulation worketh what? What's tribulation work?
Patience.
Oh, patience. Patience worketh what?
Experience.
Experience. Experience worketh what?
Hope.
Hope. Amen. And hope does not disappoint.
Amen.
Right? Because the love of Christ is what? Shed abroad in our hearts. And I've been there where God, it has me in a trial. And guess what, y'all? When you're in a trial, you can't move out of that trial if you really want to. Right? But it's called disobedience. That's what it's called. Amen? But when you're obedient in the trial, in the test, and whatever we're going through, all these things, for I reckon that the suffering of this present age Guess what, y'all? What we're going through, this political arena, this pandemic, this corona, all these things is about bringing us into the image of Jesus Christ. God wants to see his son in us. Amen. That's what it's about. That it's our suffering. No cross, no what?
No crown.
No crown. Amen. But it's our suffering that produces the glory of God in our lives. Amen. And so when we say tribulation worketh patience, patience, experience, and experience hope, and hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts. Amen. And it's the word. It's the word of God that does it for us. Amen. And so when he says here, Amos chapter 5, verse 21, I despise your feast days. I will not smell your solemn assemblies. Though you offer burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Then he says, take away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not bear the melody of thy vials. But let what? Let what? Y'all say that word. But let what? Judgment. Amen. Judgment. Let judgment run down as waters and righteousness and as a mighty stream. Amen. Have you offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne, you have borne the tabernacle of your Molech and Chiyun, your images, the star of your little G gods, which have made to yourselves. Amen. And listen, this world is a mess. And the enemy has masterminded a way for us to get, and we'd be like, I don't worship no idols. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you talking about? That's not me. You're talking about Baal gods? You're talking about going to the high places and tearing Satan's kingdom down? Guess what, y'all? Honestly, examine your time you spend in front of the television. Let's not talk about the internet and Facebook right now. But we can't talk about Facebook right now, amen? Some people, when they wake up, the first thing they do, amen, check their status, check their sign. We don't got nobody online checking their sign, do we? Sagittarius. Y'all know what? That stuff is demonic, but it's real. Amen. And some people, man, they determine their lifestyle, how they're going to live, by what their sign says. Amen. But when we talk about idols, the enemy, even in the church, has figured out a way to cause us to worship these cell phones. Worship these. And some people, man, like, they can't get through 5 hours without their battery going dead. You see my charger? Amen. Looking for their charger to charge their iPhone. Now, iPhone, I ain't going to start because I got one. Listen, I got a Samsung, but I got an iPad. But it's your time that we spend on TV, the time that we spend on these idols, the time that we spend on these reality shows. More and more of these reality, now they got reality gospel shows. Amen. And we spend so much time that they become idols in our lives. Amen. And so when we look back here, this is Amos, right? And we can go back to Joel, go back to our text. When you look at chapter 2, when he calls us to repent in Joel, he says, therefore, also now the Lord, turn ye even unto me, chapter 2, verse 12, with your heart and with fasting. The first thing he says, turn with your heart and fasting and weeping with mourning. And then he says, heart And then in verse 13, he says, rend your heart and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord, your God, right? And we're going to get to the second part. Boy, I'm telling you, the second part of chapter 13 is awesome. Amen. So we're going to deal with that. We're going to get done on time tonight. But when we talk about the heart, let's look at this heart a little bit. Amen. This is just a diagram of the tabernacle of man, of our heart, right? And how the heart is where the soul is in the heart. The spirit, if you're saved, if you're born again, the spirit, the Holy Spirit, that is, resides in the heart. Your mind, will, and emotions, guess what? They're inside the soul, inside the heart. And so when we talked about on Sunday, do thy diligence to keep your heart, because out of it flows the issues of life. And that's in Proverbs chapter 4. And so we talk about the issues of life. The issues of life come out of the will. The issues of life come out of the mind. The issues of life come out of the emotions. Amen? And so it's out of the heart. When we talk about the heart, now let me find some stuff here. When we talk about the heart, I got some other scriptures. The heart is where wars come from. The heart is where words come from. The heart is where lying, deceitfulness, envy, murder, gossip, all these things can come from the heart. Amen? And so when we talk about the heart, Jesus said in Matthew 15:18, what comes out of the heart? What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this is what defiles the heart. For out of the heart comes evil intentions. Out of the heart comes murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. And these are the things that defile a person. It's not what comes out of the mouth. I'm sorry, it's not what goes in. Because they were complaining that the disciples didn't wash their hands. And Jesus was letting them know, listen, it's not what goes in that defiles the heart, but it's what comes out that it's what comes out that defiles a man. Amen. For out of the heart come all these evil intentions, inventions. They got some wicked, evil things out there. Inventions. They got some websites, pornographic industry. There's so many things, evil intentions that come out. These things are rooted and seated in the heart. Bitterness in the heart. Hatred in the heart. Resentment in the heart. Unforgiveness, it starts in the heart. And these things start in the heart. And one person I think about, jealousy, it starts in the heart. And that's why, when you look at this stuff, you look at Cain. I talk about Cain that killed Abel, right? He saw that Abel's sacrifice was more pleasing to God. And guess what he did? He got jealous. And that jealous, listen, when we get jealous of somebody, or when we get passed over by somebody, or we get offended by somebody, the root of bitterness, as it talks in Hebrews, sets in. And you have poison in those hidden places in the heart, right? And so James 5:9, the devil loves when we hold grudges against people, because somebody turn to James 5:9. Let's turn there. We're talking about the heart, right? We're talking about rending your heart, right? And not your garment. 5:9. Somebody read James. Well, Doug, read Deacon Cook. Read okay, James 5:9. Right?
Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door.
Right? And so when we talk about the heart, right, and we talk about grudges, holding on to a grudge, the devil loves it when we hold on to grudges against people. He knows that he can affect our lives forever when there's a grudge present. It's like he has legal right to control our lives. And we think when we're holding something on somebody that we have some kind of control over them, because I'm not speaking to them, but they actually have control over you. And when we harbor these issues toward one another. And that's why we talked about on Sunday, do thy diligence to keep thy heart, because out of the heart flows the very issues of life, right? And so when we also talk about do thy diligence to keep thy heart, Sunday we talked about Proverbs 4:21, the word of God, let them not depart out of your sight, keep them in the center of your heart. This is Proverbs 4:21. If somebody got that, we can read that real quick. Proverbs 4:22. Y'all listen to this. Talking about the word of God. So we're talking about the word of God right tonight. Proverbs 4:22. All right. So when he talks about the word of God, right? Don't let the word of God come out of your sight. Keep it in the center of your heart. That's verse 21. Y'all see that, right? They're together. All right. He says, for they are what?
Life.
Life. His word, the word of God, is life for those who find them. And guess what it is? It's healing and health even for our flesh. And I'm telling you, I meet so many people, even in the church, with just a sad countenance and just a spirit of just, man, some people just look right sad. Right. And a lot of times, and there's some people, that's just they look. Right. But some people, they got some stuff brewing in them that gives them a sour disposition. And I heard a guy saying that he calls our face is the veil. Amen. And what's in the pale is going to come out in the veil. What's on the inside? Listen, and we think we can hold on to some stuff. And we think we can think about some stuff and think, listen, what's on the inside will come out. Yeah. Amen. Our physical bodies, listen, even our health, our physical bodies reflect a positive or negative thought life. And the grudge, being a negative attitude, will reveal itself in our speech, in our actions. We will become negative, bitter, unhappy people. Our faces will show it. Y'all know that? Even our bodies will suffer from it. And I'm not saying sometimes we talk about things we're going through in the body. Sometimes it's just we got to eat better. Amen? High blood, high cholesterol. But when we talk about stress and holding on to grudges, holding on to things in the past, right? We got to learn how to allow the word to search us and how to confess these things to the Lord. Every single day we got to do it. Lord, search me. Try me. Create me a clean heart. Renew me a what?
Right spirit.
Amen. We've got to do that. And so when we talk about these things, we talk about anxiety, stress, and this world is vexing. This work, what we see watching the news, we got to be delivered from that. Amen. We got to be delivered from some of the things we see. We talk about anxiety, stress, hostility, hypertension, depression, substance abuse, overeating can be effects of holding on to sin or grudges against others. These issues can kill you. Y'all know that? Oh, Lord. Hiding or harboring grudges against others will shorten your life and can make you unhealthy. Guess what, y'all? It's just not worth it. So that's why James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. That the effectual fervent prayer of the what? Righteous availeth much. We got to know that. 1 John 1:9 says we can confess our faults to him. He's what? Faithful and just to what? Forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Guess what? And I'm not so much talking about confessing to one another. Guess what? If you offended somebody, you better confess. Leave that gift at the altar Amen. But our confession is between God. And when he says, confess your faults before him, for he is faithful and just, that means we have to agree with God. How can two walk together? What? Unless they agree. We've got to agree with the Lord about our condition and about our state. And y'all know why? The reason why we got to rend our hearts is because this world is vexing. This world is vexing. And that's why the Lord wouldn't let me get caught up in the news today. This world is vexing. Amen. Y'all, this world is no friend of grace. This world is troubling. There's no way we can live in this world and just go along and get along and not be broken to this world, word, and make it. We can't make it. Amen. Solomon said, all is vanity and what? Vexation to the spirit. He said, fear God and keep his commandments. That means obey his word. We got to obey him. It is our obedience to the word of God. Amen. That's our deliverance. It's our obedience that brings us into our application. We got to obey his word. Amen. We look at Samson. He pressed upon Delilah every day. And the Bible says his heart became vexed. He became vexed. Amen. He just gave her what she wanted. 2 Peter 2:7 says, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. But guess what the Bible says in that same chapter? But the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. It's the word of God. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4, and then we're going to be closing this. We're going to be wrapping this up. Amen. Do thy diligence to keep your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Amen. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us to enter into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Listen, listen, listen. That rest. Minister Tope was praying about the peace of God last night. We were talking about the peace on the prayer call. Just the peace of God. Man, the joy. The fruits of the spirit, his love, his joy. Listen, having the mind of Christ and walking just, man, regardless of what's going on the outside, regardless of what's going on in these presidential candidates or debates, or even with law enforcement or what's going on in the neighborhood, and just people are losing their lives. And even with this COVID and everything, guess what? There's a peace. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, guess what? It is well. It is well. Though the outward man is perishing, guess what, y'all? The inward man is what? Renewed high. Day by day. It's the word. I can't explain it. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my, David said it was good for me that I have been afflicted, because it's through the affliction, through the suffering, through all these things that we're going through, that God is turning up his peace, his joy, his love. But it's the word, it's our obedience to the word of God. And here it says, let us therefore, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not what? Profit them, not being mixed with what? Faith in those who heard it. It's our faith. And what faith does, faith takes the word from a cranium now. Faith takes a word from a memorizational stance. Faith takes the word and it translates to our hearts that the word of God can be lived out. I heard Minister Williams talking about this last week, because the Bible says faith without what? Works is what? Is dead. Guess what? Faith not lived out is not faith. Faith not obeyed is not faith. Faith not crossing over to go into Canaan land, that's not faith. You got a bunch of dried up seeds in your pocket. Amen? But faith becomes faith when you step out on the water like Peter. Amen? And so y'all, guess what? Because of their faithlessness, not taking the word, not hiding the word, not applying the word, they failed to enter into that rest. Seeing therefore, verse 6, it remaineth to some must therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in, because of what? Unbelief. Then in verse 7, he says again, he limiteth a certain day, saying to David, today, so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. If you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus had given them that rest, they would not have afterwards have spoken of another day. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's go back to this. He says, for if Jesus had given them rest, verse 8, Hebrews chapter 4, he would not have spoken of another day. Listen, y'all. Listen. There remaineth, therefore, a rest for the people of God. And that rest is not just talking about the Sabbath rest or the final rest when we get to heaven. What this is saying is there's a rest. There's a peace. There's a contentment. It's called being in the center of the will of God. Amen. Listen, I don't care. They can lock me up, throw away the key, that you, your house can burn down, your car, even in the midst of the most destructible things that we can go through, there's still a peace, a contentment that the word of God, our obedience because of the blood of Jesus Christ, there's an access that we have that the world does not have. That the believer that's fleshly or carnal does not have. Amen. That's why, guess what, y'all? I could go for broke, no money in the bank, lose my house, get fired from my job, the church could put me out, but there's a peace at the bottom of the heart, a river that's flowing like the Delaware River that's flowing in my heart because of Jesus Christ, because of what we have, and it's attributed to Jesus Christ living in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. It's about the Spirit of God. Amen. That's what we got to know. But the reason why we miss it is because, boy, they're talking about brokenness. They're talking about death. Amen. You can't get there from here. For there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. Amen. Rend your hearts and not your garments. For he that is entered into his rest. And I can imagine Paul being in jail, being in prison, being locked up, knowing, listen, he was facing death. But you know what he told Timothy? He said, well, Demas has left me. Amen. Having loved this present age. Amen. And somebody else, he named what Demas? Can't think of the name.
I think it was Alexander.
One of them, the coppersmith.
Yeah, the coppersmith.
He talked about him, and there was another one. Mm-hmm. How they left him. Mm-hmm. But in Timothy, he encourages Paul. Listen. And that's where our encouragement comes from. Mm-hmm. Our encouragement to other people don't come through. Mm-hmm. Oh, we good. Y'all know some people can only witness to somebody when they're doing good. Uh-oh. They can only, and you know, some people, when they're doing bad, they just quiet. Amen. That's when we ought to be running around the most. We've got to be able to encourage people. Paul wrote over a third of the New Testament from prison. Well, he wrote over a third, not all from prison, but most of it from prison. Because I believe we wouldn't have got all we got if Paul had been out of jail. He'd have been too busy. Sometimes the Lord know how to sit you down, to lock you up, just so you might sit, be still, and hear from him. Amen. But he told Timothy, he said, get my cloak, because it was wet in that dungeon. There was some rats running around in that dungeon. And he said, get the parchment. He said, get the word. The canonized word wasn't there yet. And so we talk about the abundant revelations and all these things that came through his afflictions, that came through his trials, being beat, shipwrecked, stoned, left for dead, perils in the night, perils in the deep, perils by his countrymen. All that Paul went through, then being attacked, the very next chapter, with a thorn. All these things. He had a relationship. For let us therefore, in verse 10, says, let us therefore what? Hebrews chapter 4. Let us labor. Let us labor. That's right. Verse 11. I'm sorry. Verse 11. Let us labor. Therefore, to what? Enter into that rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. We got to labor in this word. We have to allow. Listen, don't be scared to let the word find you out. It's okay. Somebody say, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. That's it. Amen. Somebody said, amen. It's okay. Amen. Because guess what? The best love affair, the best intimacy I have, is with this word, is with Jesus Christ. Boy, I thank God for my wife. I love her to death. But she can't do me like this word can do. Amen. So whether I'm married or not married, guess what? I have the word of God. Whether you're single or you're married, it's the word of God that gets you warm at night. Amen. Amen. And listen, as married couples, we got to know it's the word that makes us. I'm no good to her without my brokenness to the word. That way I can love her unconditionally. And he says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Then he says, for the word of God is what? Quick. It's what? Powerful. It's what? Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing. Asunder the what? Soul and the spirit. And the what? Joints in the marrow. It is a what? Discerner of the thoughts, even the intents of my heart. That means it digs deep even in those hidden places that we're not even sure of. Guess what? The word has got there. You ever heard of Jacques Cousteau? Man, me and my granddad were watching National Geographic. I was about 7 years old. Then they had a guy named Jacques Cousteau exploring the deeps and the depths. The places that nobody has ever been to. Y'all remember Jacques Cousteau? Y'all know the word is like Jacques Cousteau? And the word is able to get there. The word is able to dig a deep. The word is able to go asunder. And then the word, not only does it get there, we have to confess it, get it up, get it out. But then the word comes in and heals. It's cutting going in. And then it's cutting going out. Amen. And of the joints in the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and of the what? This is where the word we were going to, right? Of the intents of the what? Of my heart. Thank you, Jesus. It's about our hearts. So when we talk about the veil, right? The problem with the church, we have the outer court, we have the inner court. And then we have the most holy place. The most holy place is where the Holy Spirit is. But the problem is the Holy Spirit is never governing or dictating our lives because we're not rending our hearts. We're not broken to the word of God. When Jesus Christ died, this veil between us and the Holy Heavenly Father, this veil, y'all see where it says veil, right? Was torn in two. And so now people are having church in the soul. The part before you get to the veil is just the soul. Y'all see the soul? will, mind, and emotions. And we're having soul church. Listen, I want more. Listen, people give their lives chasing stuff. People have hobbies and dreams and do all these things. And I had to tell somebody today that guess what? I don't work to work. Amen. My passion is just conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. That job, we can't go through the motion and not deal with the cross of Christ. That's what was cut. The veil was torn in from top to bottom. This veil was torn. And when he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, for I determined not to know anything among you except for Jesus Christ and him being crucified. The preaching of the cross to them that perish is what? Foolishness. But to us who are saved, it is the power of God. That's why we have communion. That's why we take examination of our lives. It's about examination of our hearts. That cross will still be applied to our hearts. That's the rendering or the rending of the hearts. And so when we're willing to be cut by the word, now the Holy Spirit, amen, can have his way. And we're no longer having soul church. Listen, I've seen it. I've seen this one artist dress up on the stage, pop lock, do everything else on a show. And man, we can link up with the world. We can hook up the church and the world, go hook and hook and hand in hand. And he did every dance there is. Amen. The stinky leg or something. And every dance there is, he did it. And then the promoter of the show came on and was just, And even you can cry at the altar. You can get emotional at the altar. And the vexation of our hearts, the hardness of our hearts, never be dealt with. And guess what? This mind, will, and emotions, this soul is where you're having church. We got to get past that, y'all. We got to get, and it's through our death. Except the corner, we fall on the ground and die. It abides alone. But if it die, it what? Brings forth. Except, and listen, deny yourself. Mm-hmm. Take up your what? Oh. Cross. Every single day. Amen. If you want to follow Jesus Christ, it's about the words application. And I'm telling you, man, I love the Lord. And there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Amen. Jacob, the Lord changed his name from Jacob to Israel. When you know in the heart of hearts, where nobody can see, that God has delivered you to the core, rend your hearts, amen, and not your garments. Amen. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you. We bless you, O God. We praise your holy and your righteous name. You are holy. You are omnipotent. You are omniscient, O God. You rule and you reign. And Father God, we pray right now that you just continue to speak to our hearts. Oh God, that we will continue to hide the word in our hearts that we might not sin against you. Father, that you will just continue to stir up your spirit in us. Oh Lord, stir up your fire in us through our deliverance, through our conforming, and through our confession to you. God, we love you, we bless you, and we praise you. You are holy, you are righteous, you are awesome. Even everybody on the line, although we didn't get prayer requests, you already know the requests, even of our hearts. We pray, oh God, right now in the name of Jesus to know, Lord, we know that this world is no friend of grace. And we know that we are the salt of the world, of the earth. We are the light, oh God, which is your light. And you said a city that sits upon a hill cannot be hid. Father God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus, if we ever needed you before, We sure do need you right now. We pray right now, oh God, wherever we are in life, wherever the people that we work around, that we live around, even in Walmart or the grocery store, we pray for love. Oh God, we pray that people will see your light, people will see your life, that people will be compelled even through our deliverance and through our transformation. You said in your word, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Yes.
Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. We thank you, oh God, because you said we have this treasure, an earthen vessel, that the excellency of that power is of you and not of us.
Yes.
God, we pray, oh God, as you have made us ambassadors, oh God, of you, of your son, Jesus Christ, help us, oh God, that we will just continue to let your life live through us, that we will love, oh God, that, Lord, we can't do it in our strength, but, Lord, in your power, in your might, through your spirit, you said, by this will all men know that we are your disciples. When we have love one for another, God, we don't have to go to Africa and try to reach people and far land. Help us to start with our own homes. Help us to start with our own jobs. Help us to start with wherever we work, wherever we are. Oh, God, it's a ministry within a ministry. You've given us this ministry of reconciliation, not to just the people that love us and like us, but to the people that hate us, our enemies, oh, God. We pray, oh, God, right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you will work, that you will have your way. We pray for the word, that your word will just continue to reverberate in our hearts, that the fruits of the Spirit will just continue to flow through us. God, we love you. We pray even where the enemy wants to come in like a flood. Father, raise up your standard. You said, oh God, all things were created by you, for you. All things consist, whether there be dominions, powers, principalities, powers, visible or invisible, all things were created by you. Hexes, vexes, oh God, all those things, we bind and rebuke them things right now in the name of Jesus. Even this funeral service that will be here on Friday, God, right now we pray in the name of Jesus that you will dispatch your angels of protection even around the plans of this service. God, we plead the blood of Jesus right now. We pray your covering, oh God. Drive out, oh God, the spirit of doom and gloom. Drive out the spirit of gossip and speculation, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you will be glorified, that somebody will see you, that somebody will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God, we love you. We bless you. For it's in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Let everybody say amen. Amen.